Okay.
Are we all set?
Whenever you're ready.
All right, I have 10 o'clock for CSD Security Committee meeting. We'll call to order. I don't think we have to do a roll call, do we?
Not on a committee meeting. But I can if you like. I mean, it's your convenience.
I wasn't going to answer. The board president, who's the other committee member, had another obligation, so he apologizes, so it falls back to me. So with that said, I'm going to change a couple of things before we get to public comments. I'm going to read this. This was addressed, it was written by myself, it was sent out on Tuesday. It was addressed to Les Clark, Linda Butler, John Merchant, and Randy Janko, and I'll read it verbatim. Hello, I was informed in a positive way, parentheses, that a couple of CFD staff members feel that I'm more of, quote, an RMA board member than a CSD board member. So I first want to express my concerns that my passion for customer service is not being conveyed or taken the way I intend. I do not want to misrepresent the other RMA, Rancho Murrieta CSD board members in any way or the Rancho Murrieta CSD itself. I will continue to work on my actions as a board member to alleviate any perception or perceptions that I have that I understand completely my roles and responsibilities as a Rancho Murrieta Community Service District board member, and that I am not, parentheses, an RMA board member. I will address this with Rancho Murrieta CSD staff. I also, parentheses, board members, in a public format so that there is no longer a misunderstanding or at least an attempt to clear up how I'm delivering my concerns or messages to the Rancho Murrieta Community Service District board members and staff. So there it is. I'm going to have further discussion. I do have a board member present, so I have those concerns. They've been brought to me. I will continue to work on how I deliver, or more importantly, how my messages are received. Public comment. Okay, let's go to item number three, the monthly updates.
Okay, good morning. Operational updates. We have received the banners. We had two banners made. This is what they look like. Gail, you know, take another picture. Two banners made. This is what they'll look like advertising our FastPass program.
Okay.
The intent is to have these displayed at the north area to advertise and promote the program.
Right.
One thought is to have it up for quite some time to increase the membership and usage, but also for sure, you know, a good 2 weeks before any major events or holidays to reiterate.
Good call.
People sign up for the program.
Two things. Do we know the number that have signed up? And then once you sign up, you're in the system, right?
Once you sign up, you're in the system. ABDI cannot provide statistical info on how many people utilize the FastPass. They can only tell us how many people are signed up for the system.
Okay. But we can, once we have 4th of July, Christmas, those types of things, right? We'll know that X number went through that process. Does that make sense?
It would have to be manually counted or tracked.
And at the end of the day, I now don't know if I want that information. So, and then the other question is,
based on the last 4th of July, staff commented that a good 50% of the vehicle traffic coming through the gate was FastPass.
Got it. And I'll pick on, because I see a couple of RMA folks, almost it would be an anecdotal, and let's pick 4th of July, because how many you sent out passes or people came in, correct? So maybe that gives us where we're at as a barometer.
Okay. Sure.
And then the other is the barcode that you have on that banner. Is that good barcode? Can I? Right.
The one in the pipeline, though. Try that.
Oh, he's Alan? Okay.
That one, that comes back to me and it's expired. So you could try.
Okay. Very good.
For the first time in quite some time, patrol is fully staffed. That is allowing us to have two officers on duty with overlap, meaning daytime, late days, swing shift, and late swings, which basically during busy hours, which would be from 10 a.m. till 1 a.m., 6 days a week, we have two officers on duty. And the gate is fully staffed minus one temp position, which is 2 days a week. And it's kind of where we're using the contract to fill in. We don't have any candidates or viable applications, so we're doing fine with contract staff. So essentially the gate more or less is fully staffed. And we don't have, we've had a big turn, say, in the last year with personnel on the positive. We don't have anybody looking at leaving. We don't have anybody that is going to leave. Everything has been stable. People seem to be happy. So we're looking forward to just keeping that going and keeping our staffing levels up. We have two training sessions coming up. One, we have selected a vendor, and we have a scheduled date for all CSD staff for customer service and de-escalation training. We also, all field personnel, which includes patrol officers, will be doing our mandatory CPR first aid refresher training, and that'll be in March. So customer service training is scheduled towards the end of April, and then in March we're doing CPR first aid. Moving on to incidents and note, we had another
Excuse me, just one second. On the CPR and first aid, and I apologize, I should know this. Do we have any AED devices within the district?
No, and our insurance carrier is against us having it. That's all I know.
Okay.
I know that when at we used to have one in the building department in the permit center at Stockton, and there were similar type issues that they were put in place, and then it became a risk issue. Of what if it's done improperly, et cetera, et cetera. And so what had been this whole effort to distribute them, provide them, then started to be retracted somewhat. So
what year was that?
That was 3 years ago.
Okay.
So a couple years back, Tim, I had asked when we had the training, specifically my thought was to have one in this building and one in each patrol car. Mm-hmm. And with the automatic AEDs, it's pretty much brainless. You can't do anything wrong with them.
Correct. Yeah, they're fireman proof.
You have to turn it on, so, well, fireman and cop proof for sure. But our insurance carrier recommended against it, so.
We can revisit it, though.
Could we?
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, I believe in internal customer service, and we go just, we get over that hump, there's a ton of things we can do.
Yeah.
Okay. But if we could. All right, I'm sorry. Continue on.
We'll just figure out what the cost of that is. If there is a cost, what is that cost? Is it okay?
Right, right. Because the current trend is where you're going to see an AED, you're going to see a tourniquet station for mass casualty type events. So that's the trend of where everything's going from that standpoint. So. And it's basically, yeah, a tourniquet station where you're going to have a couple dozen tourniquets next to the AED. It's where we're at in society. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the trend is most law enforcement officers carry tourniquets on them.
Right, right. And now it's
the trend.
It's, the AED is brainless and tourniquets are brainless. It just, you actually need the devices to, well, not in my case, I can be brainless without.
Could I ask a question of Mike and Denise? Does either the club or the RMA building have an AED?
CSD about 8 years ago asked everybody to contribute, and the country club has a minimum of two,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the RMA has 2 years out, each have one in the back room in the left. So we bought it based on CSD requesting that we purchase it. So I know we have at least two of it. Because, you know, if your insurance carrier is not carrying it, we probably should, nobody should be doing it because it's random people are going to help somebody. You know,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think we're getting a little sidetracked, and I didn't mean to, but I think we do our due diligence on this, and then I think the answer is there's we can get them. Just how we do it.
Yeah, I'm starting to recall a little bit more on what the rollout was in Stockton. So initially it was to train staff to be able to use that were on site.
Right.
Then they pulled back to only fire EMT personnel types to administer it. So it reduced the practicality of having it.
Yeah, then why invest it? Because
the fire
some maintenance.
Show up to do it anyway, and they're going to have it in their vehicle. So that's more specific.
Because, again, I think that in itself, just what you talked about, where you want to go with it, truly from a customer service standpoint to the community, would pay dividends, literally. So, okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Just need one time to use it. January 1st, about 11 p.m. that night, we had another DUI driver. Took off driving, approximated speed over 50 miles an hour down the parkway, ran a stop sign, then came to a panic stop. When our officers talked to the driver, detected symptoms, called Highway Patrol, and they handled the investigation after that, including recovering a half bottle of whiskey out of the front seat. Fortunately, nobody was hit. It was late at night. My understanding is the way he was driving, it could have definitely resulted in an accident. January 22nd, I'm sure most people heard of this, we had a suspicious circumstances incident where a young girl was followed home off the school bus. Our officers arrived, met with the family. One officer stayed with the family to provide them comfort and security until the sheriff's department arrived. Another officer began checking the area. Through information, they had developed a possible suspect. Our officers did and located a person and a vehicle. The sheriff's department followed up with that investigation the following day. The victim identified the person, but not as the suspect. So at this point, I don't know where the investigation is. That was the only solid lead they had at the time. In the meantime, we provided patrols, despite what was said on social media. We provided patrols around the clock to the house. The father was very appreciative and thanked security for their efforts in keeping the family comfortable and safe. We also were at the bus stop when the kids got off the school, parked right next to the police car, which people saw but didn't see us, so said we weren't there. I just want to clear the record, we were there. We did that for several days after the incident, and like I said, things have kind of settled down, and I have no updates on what's going on with that case.
Okay.
January 25th, we had two reports of car windows getting broke out on Puerto. Nothing was taken, vandalism. There was possibly a third that was reported later the next day, but fortunately, one of the victims did have video camera to the front of the house. In reviewing video, they did see the suspects, and they were recognized as local teenagers. So the sheriff's department's following up on that suspect.
And was it like the doorbell ring or what have you? Or
I don't know what camera system they had.
Okay.
I just know they had a camera that I believe, because where the vehicles were parked, that it was additional surveillance cameras like on the driveway in the front of the house, not a doorbell.
Because if that's the case, then it would be interesting to see if they registered with the sheriff's department. Because if you have the surveillance camera, obviously the sheriff's like to know. But again,
that's something that we've advocated for quite some time. That's one of the best benefits of having a system.
Right. If you're going to put a system in.
And then the county does have a registration where individuals can register, and they will check for all the surrounding cameras that are registered when there's a crime that occurs.
Right.
Probably one of the best tools we have out here to catch someone.
So they, like I said, I'm sure that'll result in disposition of that case with two suspects being identified. One juvenile, one adult in that case.
Okay.
That's about it for updates and significant events. I know joint security is number six. I can wait for that, or because it's in the update memo, just move into that.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So we sent out an email say we'd like to have another joint security committee meeting. I only got a couple responses back. Sent out a reminder email last week and didn't generate any more responses. So I think we're at the point now that the committee member for today to make a recommendation if we just go ahead and move forward and set a date and time.
Mm-hmm.
Move it forward to board, or what direction you'd like to do at this point.
Okay. Yeah, the last I have is from a developer that basically said the same thing, just try and throw out some dates, and they have February here because of when it was written, but it would probably be March or April.
Correct.
The only other comment I have on that is when we did, I think it was around the 8th, we sent it out, and I don't know if, so I just printed this off. I don't know if this person that sent it back to us left off the country club, or we didn't get them on, because initially they weren't on, and I didn't see them on here. So I don't know if
the country, I don't know who you sent it to.
Okay, so if we just make sure
we're
going
to the GM.
Well,
yeah, that's the
which is fine. I just didn't see it on here.
Yeah.
And I might be
that
missing.
That happened initially. And was this a follow up email?
Yeah, that was sent from the developer.
Yeah, the GM at the country club.
The original that didn't have.
Yeah, and it very well might. It's just if they're on it, then
he was sent a separate. Yeah, he was
sure on.
Perfect.
He was sent a separate email. The GM.
He was actually sick for a week and he was on vacation for a week.
Do you want to be included on that also?
You can, yeah. Don't you?
It'll be an extra fee, but we'll talk about that. I would go.
A personal, not a country club.
I think I have it.
Right?
Yeah. I think I have it from Summerfest stuff.
Then I would say probably mid-March, and just throw out some dates.
And the other thing would be day of the week and time. Some
I would.
Some want evening, some midday is okay for them. They're open, so it's kind of.
My preference would be during business hours, so I'm flexible there. But if a majority of the customers wants an evening, then we can work through what evening works best. So, but it, by the lack of response, is good. Tells me we're going, of course. But I think the other then is we just need to own it and redirect it.
Okay. So.
So we're number four, which is?
Well, unless you want to finish citation admonishments.
Oh, yeah.
And you should have received, when you got here, the packet from RMA, which we received.
I just got it.
We got that at the end of the day yesterday.
I just got it. So then, the numbers we have from CSD closes out 2019, correct?
There is. We did provide a 2019 total sheet in our report.
Okay.
So there's a new one for
right.
2020, and then 2019 is totaled out at the end of the year.
And then. So RMA, and I'll pick on Denise, so you've closed out your year then as well with this document, correct?
This
It's a black and white, but I think it comes in a different color.
Yeah, it's supposed to be green.
So, yes, but basically, this is your closeout for 19, then, right?
Okay.
And I'm asking as I go back now and compare. I just want to see what the numbers are and how we're capturing and what we're capturing. Let's slow these down. I don't have any questions on it. All right, number four, district customer service training. You touched on it. I don't know if there's anything more.
No, it'll be, like I said, held towards the end of April. It's going to be a two-hour session. And we've just got to work on the schedule. That's internal housekeeping, but it's the date is set.
Okay. Okay, so we're on to number five, the revision of the district code, chapter 21, ordinance adopting change.
Right. So what we have here, and I give credit and thanks where it's due, Amelia. And going back through, as a result of a board action a month or so ago, changing the interest rate on late penalties and fees, the district security code, chapter 21, also has that penalty or fee, and it needed to be amended to the 1%.
Right.
So as Amelia was going through that, she noticed that over the years there have been many, many revisions to the code, a lot of footnotes. It just really needed to be cleaned up. So she took the initiative and started to work on that. She worked in conjunction with legal, Mr. Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Shanahan had made cleanup edits and recommendations to the document. So what you have before you in the packet is a memo from me, which will go to the board after committee if it's voted to move on. Is a recommended action to adopt the changes and amendments. You should have one copy with the markups and edits indicated, and then a clean copy.
Right.
Nothing of substance or code was changed.
Yeah.
It mainly cleaned up some wording to make it more consistent throughout the document and got rid of a lot of the footnotes at the bottom that reflected changes going back years.
Okay. I do have a couple of questions. This is section 300, and the cleanup is dramatic, thank you, from what we did have on the books. And specifically, it's section 3.01, authority scope of security services. And the reason I'm bringing this up, to me, it's very conflicting on expectations of employees. And I think it starts at the second sentence. Security gate officers and security patrol officers are responsible for protecting lives. And that's my catch right there. And the reason I say that then is if you continue reading down, the function of a security gate officer and security patrol officer is to observe and report. So as we try and figure out what our mission is or what our expectation of the employee is, now in the old documents, or no, the current document, it talks about police services and those things, that footnote should be, so all that's been cleaned up. So I get that. But I'm just, my concern is we go from the expectation of protecting lives and property to the function is to observe and report to law enforcement. And, you know, we reiterate in here that the district's not responsible for any law enforcement activities. So I just don't know if it's a clean.
I think that's an inconsistency.
expectation across the board. At the end of the day, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, we obviously have armed patrols, but it's for a very specific expectation. I don't know if we're asking something that we haven't asked for before. And so as an opportunity, that's why I bring that up.
There may be an option to expand upon that first part, that to be more clear about what our goal is as it shifted from law enforcement.
Right. And I don't know if we're consistent, because in the current one, it wasn't consistent. It went back and forth on security services, and I forgot what the other term is. And so that's been kind of cleaned up. So I just don't know. Those are my concerns in that section. And then section 5, we removed the line that talked about security services are a portion of public safety. No, we still have it. So I guess, in my understanding, and I'm going to say the public's understanding, when you talk public safety, it's law enforcement, fire, EMS. And so when you talk security services, it gets a little bit more finite. Is it armed security? Is it, you know, and it just, so I don't know if we use the term consistently through here, or we put our definition of what the expectation is of our department from the standpoint, if everything's being pushed out in the 911 system, that it's a public safety, and this is the level. But if we're not there, what's that message we're sending? That's my concern. And then the other question I have, and it's more of an operational one, on section 4, special event notice, my notes were, does this happen, and how, and who deals with that? Is that something that they just notify you, or we realize that, say the, and I'll pick on the horsey place, but it very well could be the airport has a fly-in or a function. I guess my part to this would be that notification, are we being told, or do we read it in the paper, oh, didn't get any calls for service, so then that's fine. Because if we're gonna have it in there, what's that mechanism from that standpoint? Now, I know we get from the country club when they have huge events, we get those notifications, so however that works, I think operationally we need to just duplicate it to the rest of the customers from that standpoint. And to me, like, the next one that's gonna jump out at me is whenever Bel Air opens, it's gonna be a carnival. You know, it's gonna be fireworks, you know, I mean, hopefully free hot dogs, but I you know, digress. But so we know that that's gonna be an impact on opening day, just because we get pretty excited about those, you know, life-changing events sure. out here in Marietta.
So it is in the code. There is a form. I actually have it on my desk as a project to amend the form to indicate if, depending on what the event is and the size, if certain security services are going to be required for the event. And if so, are they hiring private security, or what's their plan?
Right.
And then it says it's supposed to be returned and reviewed by the chief within a certain amount of time, and that it can be evaluated or denied. We don't have very many events other than the horse center, really,
right.
outside the gates that bring people in.
Right.
My intent was to look at amending the form, adding that section, and then mailing with a cover letter to the horse center, to the airport, the management of the hotel. The hotel's had a few small guitar on the grass,
yeah,
wine drinking
yeah.
things, but you know, and they had their own security, and
right,
they called
right.
me about it.
Right.
But nothing major, significant, like okay. usually occurs behind the gates. We got notified of the country club having some events coming up here during the summer. They The form has not been filled out by them. They did notify us through the general manager's meeting, so we're aware of it. So that is a project. It's actually on my desk right next to the computer to work on, and then put it back out there to remind outside entities, not on Army property, that they need to notify us if we're going to have an event.
Well, then it sounds like we might actually have a topic from the Joint Security Committee. You know, just a place to have that as well.
Okay. I do. Since we're on the similar topic of events, I wanted to report.
I'll get to you one second.
I met with county planning last week, and one of the topics that we discussed was notification and referrals of event permits to stakeholders in the community, including the CSD, including the RMA.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a discussion about how did this Spartan race go a little
right.
bit sideways as far
right.
as them being held accountable to
right.
the actual conditions of the permit and how the county handles things. County planning handles permits that are, I believe it was less than 300 people were expected to attend. And what happens when it's larger than that, it's revenue and taxation. It's this other group that's kind of the
right.
bean counter side of things. And I have a feeling that's where things fell down. The planners typically, even though, and I've discussed this with others, if it's a junior planner, sometimes they just don't know the players.
Right, right,
they
right.
don't know who to refer to. But in this case, it appears likely that it went to the revenue and taxation and they just didn't do their job. So we had a principal planner in that meeting, and I asked them to make sure that they communicate with them, that they are sure to refer out to the community stakeholders
right.
when there's an event like that, adjacent to the district itself.
Well, especially since the landowner from the first mistake did extremely well for a couple of years. And got all those parts in place, et cetera, et cetera. And so again, they're required to do certain things. In this case, California Highway Patrol, but even they didn't have enough officers and more had to be added. So, okay. And that's why, as an example, okay, I just saw it in the code, how, who, when, okay, those sort of things. I thought you were doing hand puppets because I saw it on the wall over there, but you're not doing hand puppets, right? You had your hand out. Okay, yes.
I have a question for Jeff about
the state your name and lot number. No, I'm sorry.
I want to forget what I was going to say. When we do the special event permit, RMA sends those in all the time. Since we're one of the base property owners, which is a base servant, will we have a chance to provide any input on that?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often, but I want to try to, again, reinstill in the outside, like the horse center. They have a calendar, yeah, but it would be nice to know because some of their large events, they've had hired security to work it because they have some VIPs that should come in. They've called the last minute trying to get sheriff's deputies to work it, so those are kind of things that would be nice for them to document and send out, and certainly send you guys a copy so you know there could be impacts to the traffic or whatever.
Well, I was just talking about the blank form.
Oh, the blank form?
Yes, that's all I'm talking about.
Okay, it's pretty much going to look like the one you guys use. It's the same form.
Do you have recommendations right now you can offer so we can put that in process?
I do, if not. Necessarily,
okay.
Without having it in front of me, I
didn't know. Oh, here, I'll give you a piece of paper. Here, you can
sketch it out.
One problem we always have is on the second page where the requester is supposed to sign, there's all this words, and there's all these words of where RMA is supposed to sign. The resident gets so confused on that form. We go through a ton of whiteout. No, you don't sign here, you sign mm-hmm. here.
Okay.
So it would just be made a little bit more. And I know you guys use that for all the property owners in the district. They get it as an all-purpose form. So you could
right.
have that tweak so that we'll get it a little bit better.
Okay. Mr. Martel.
Section 4.00, this is your guys' policy. It says, prior to conducting or holding any event or activity within the district, which is responsible, expected to involve 20 or more participants, spectators, or similar personnel, including district customers, the sponsor of such event or activity shall notify the district security chief 10 days in advance for such an event or activities. If security services are needed for the event sponsor may request such services as provided for section 604 in this chapter. And Mark is right, when you start doing, I do the permitting for all the other big events, and it's probably the country club is the one thing that's exempt on a whole lot of stuff, is that there's other notifications, you're doing food or beverages or that kind of stuff, that you gotta go through the sheriff department, the county building inspector, you gotta go through the all kinds of, when you erect the tent, you have to have a permit to erect the tent, no matter what property that you're on, that kind of stuff. So I have a copy of all the forms that I've been doing for 20 years. If you need a copy of all the forms, there should be a checklist. And I have the checklist because I've been doing it first 5 years, we didn't know we needed permits. In the last 15.
Isn't ignorance bliss? That's why I'm a happy guy. Right here, man.
I think Mark had it right. It's a fee structure. You'd be surprised how much the fees will discourage you from putting on any event unless you're in that kind of business.
It's life safety, electrical, structure of the tent.
Oh, food prep.
ABC permit for the day.
Absolutely. So I get all that kind of stuff, and I can share with you every single permit that is required. Give you the form. If you want, I can bring you a copy of it.
And that's, thank you, Mike. I think we're seeing where, again, it's just a small section for us, but truly it is a big impact, just what's going on in the community. The other, in my mind, was if they're having law enforcement, what does that mean? How, you know, what's our access? Just those types of things. But just off of that discussion, we can see where it's a huger picture issue than just, it's here. I just don't know how often it's there.
So tied to our communications committee, which we just had this morning, is also once we have this, we find, we'll start with a campaign that outreach to let the community know, and also make sure that it's accessible, that they can find this information on our website a little easier. That's something we're constantly improving on our website. So
yeah, and I don't know enough of the process to say that is there a link from our site to the country club to our, you know, is if you click on one of them, does it get you to all of them type of thing? I don't know that process, but that would be my thought process would be, hey, if you click on just one of them, and I'll pick on the village folks, if they're having some type of event and they don't have to go to multiple websites, type of thing. It just would make it somewhat easier. Okay. I get all the other, nothing else jumped out at me at the document. Amelia, you did clean it up a ton. Most of it for the folks in the audience really deals with district property. And the upside is we don't own a lot of district property. But what property we do own, we do have regulations, policies in place. So I would agree with the moving it forward to the board. Now, I don't know. Yes?
I have a question on 3.8.
We had already closed question period 3.8. 3.8. Yes?
And sorry, I just wasn't clear. If this pertains to only property, or all property.
So 3.8 is penalty of obstructing district security officer. And the way I read it, the first go around.
It's only district
was property. District property. Now, I know that RMA has stepped forward and has some documentation in the RMA rules that if this issue takes place on RMA property, so that's already there. This is specific to district property.
Right, all the ordinances in the security code apply to district property.
But I don't think it doesn't say that there.
No, but in the opening.
It's indicated.
Yeah, in the opening of the document is, and it's only referred to once, and everything falls to that. Okay. I don't think the committee.
303. No, 3.3 and 3.5 say. 3.5 says district property.
Sidebar discussion was what?
Oh, he's just the section that discuss is like 303, 305.
Right. 305 doesn't reference district property, or 303 does not, but 305 does.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Does the committee need to vote to move this forward?
The committee can simply recommend to move
Make
it forward. So then we're going to present the ordinance with the changes to this document
right.
as it stands.
And so, per our discussion the other day, it'll go on the board packet, it won't be an action item discussion, then it comes back as an action item March or
yeah.
April, whenever.
In March it'll be introduced and then it'll be adopted in April, right, if the board wants to.
Are you looking for it to be introduced at this meeting?
No, absolutely not. I couldn't remember.
Discussion at this, so we have a two-step process
right,
for
right.
the ordinance that we have to implement, so we introduce it at this meeting. Is that what you're asking us? You're okay with us?
Yeah, whatever your timeline is, I just know it's a two-step process because there's nothing earth-shattering. That
the one thing, if this is your direction, is the resolving that one issue, like you said, the life safety.
Right. Right.
That I think you should have to look at.
And then at the end of the day, I would say we see it in March for the first time, and that way there's no deadlines imposed on us.
Okay. So yeah.
Okay. And adding that.
So we're gonna work some more on the revision.
The ordinance. Yeah.
And then we'll do our introduction in March.
Okay. The introduction in March.
Yep.
Okay. So then the revised ordinance will be back at the security committee meeting the first week in March. And then we'll introduce
okay.
the ordinance
yeah.
to the board
yeah.
in March.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to have legal
okay.
right.
look at it
again. Right. And again, if it gets pushed further, I'm
yeah,
okay
not
with that.
Urgency,
but
yeah.
it doesn't, because what triggered us to move forward with it was on the financial side, not an operational or anything from that standpoint.
Correct.
So, okay. So it'll actually come back to committee in March. Okay. Thank you. I think we're down to number seven, director staff comments. I have a couple. Denise, I'm gonna pick on you. On this document, it's the Rancho Marietta Emergency Preparedness Plan. Was this adopted by RMA specifically itself?
Yes.
Okay, well, and I'm asking that question because the request that we had, that's the original. The request that Director Les and I got from RMA was, is there a way for security to break the RMA association down into zones like that? And I, so with the geo of the ABDI system, I don't know. And so that then kind of spurred a conversation in my mind, since I talk to myself a lot, it's very conflicting. I digress. On the RMA website, that's what they have. On the CSD website, our evacuation plan was just from 17. So, they just published that. So we're off a little bit. So before we update our plan on our website, is that something we can even go to? Now, I don't know if we were involved in that process. I was contacted early on and he gave my thoughts, but not to anything to the finished product. So I don't know if we in fact can do that. To me, from a compliance standpoint, from a whole lot of factors, it's a whole lot easier if we all understand what zone one is. Type of thing.
I would like to ask, was this vetted through county OES at all with their feedback?
I don't know offhand where you feel that was done. I'd like to sort of find out.
If you could, the reason why I'm asking is they may have some comments back as mm-hmm. to making sure to disclaim that even though this is the preferred route, I'm thinking Oakland Hills fired, and hey, I've been told to go exactly this way. Okay, if it's blocked, what do I do? And so they may likely recommend something that just says this is preferred, but
in the event of a blockage or some other incident, please proceed to your next available exit, something like that. And then once we have that all resolved, then I think it'd be good that we can put it on our website. And then the other evacuation map we had was kind of an informal map that it looks formal, but it was somewhat informally done as far as exits that we have. So I'd like to just see, get some of their feedback to see what they might do. I'm sure they've done that in other areas too, so they might have recommendations.
Is CSD having an evacuation map?
We have that one that it's been up there for quite a while, and it's not on the front page right now. We've rotated it through at different times.
Yep.
But this looks like this would supersede that, so it would be good to.
I just want us on the same page, and at the end of the day, again, for the day-to-day stuff, I think no in zone one, so if we have some beautiful knucklehead children, or, is it always in that area? So from a compliance standpoint, to me, the zone thing makes complete sense. Now, if we can move it to where it's the big picture one, I just don't know from where we're at on our geo-based system, does it fall in? I would think it can. If we just know that these streets fall into zone one, then that's what zone one is, type of thing. That was my thought. So,
and
okay.
Denise, I don't think that we have this. Would you kindly send over the dollar?
Do you have a digital version of it?
Maybe you can send it over to us. That would be amazing.
Is this something that Cheryl would have sent?
Yeah, this, and it was Cheryl that had asked me.
Okay. Or if you could send it to them. Thank you. Now, because remember, we're pen pals.
Have they been put up signage? I know they talked about it before. Or has that already happened?
I don't know. I just, and I'll talk about the meeting that this came up in, but theirs was for that they broke it down into zones. I don't know how, at the end of the day, I don't really care what their methodology was, but to me, I see some advantages in a whole lot of things. Obviously, we have the community broken down completely different on the water sewer side type of thing, but from a security RMA compliance, that would make all the sense in the world to have a zone, and we understand what it is, just purely if we're going to do some type of traffic enforcement in zone one or driveway enforcement in zone one. Maybe it's easier for RMA to calculate, and they can go back to their residents and say, here's what patrol's been doing, here's what the compliance officer's been doing in these zones, and it's just a better way of tracking the data. Yes.
No, the handbook. This is a question for Jeff. With your new geographic thing, does it allow you to pull up incidents in an area? Does it allow you to pull up activity by area?
No, by address.
Right. So, like, if we're having issues at a park, we can't pull up all the calls that have been in that area?
No, a specific location, so it has to be by address, or it might even do it by common name, like by the park name.
Oh, okay.
But not by area, 3, 4, 5 block area, no.
It would do it by park.
Yeah, it'll also do some searching, I believe by name, so that would be like where you could put park name, or
it would have to be a geographical location, basically.
Yes, it does everything by address.
Okay. So then, that prompts me to think, and I don't know the name of the street. Several years ago, it's a dead end court back in the south. I think it goes to Bermuda, thank you. So, where we had that parking issue, I guess my question would be, in scenarios like that, a determination needs to be made. Instead of one address and then the next address on that street. So we now have three incidents. It's actually one incident. We determine, what does that mean? Does that make sense? So that when you go to pull it up, it's that's the problem. Not 1, 2, 3, 4 to 1, 2, 3, 5.
It's hot spots.
Exactly. It's just that's where that's at. And I can see the benefit of that if it's standardized on what the expectation is on, especially we all understand what park it is. So now let's take the river. What do we call that? Where the bonfires are, so that now we have a tracking mechanism and it's not, we have two or three or five events. We have one event five times and we know that. That would be my thought process. Yes, Mike?
Does it track the time of the incident?
It would do most everything from, well, go ahead and explain.
Yeah, it's whatever's put in. So when the dispatch gets a call and enters it, it indicates the time the call was received and then when the officers get on scene and when they clear. It tracks all those times.
Because in the past, we did it manually, not electronically. Mm-hmm. All the incidents of vandalism and some other issues was happening in about a 4-month period of time, in between about 4 hours. And that time frame was about 8 o'clock at night to about midnight. Mm-hmm. And when school was out, so there's an age of the people that are involved in that kind of stuff. It's like DUI. There's usually a time frame when DUIs occur. It's not during the daytime. It's usually after normal business hours.
Except for yesterday morning.
You do have the, but your data, I think, is going to definitely show you, when you talk about your staffing, your data is going to probably show you something different than what your staffing is going to show you. So that was the conversation that we were getting into. We have our heavy staff at this time, and most of our heavy incidents are happening on these days and this time. So this thing should be able to direct, you know, give you good data on, you know, what stuff is going on. So.
Yeah, I think so. See. And we don't know, quite honestly, because the system's new.
We had it all manually. Right. And before Greg left, he was supposed to downgrade it. It sounds like you're going through the same right. process now, but electronic. Right. So it doesn't get lost.
And to me, at the end of the day, from a customer service standpoint, for RMA, even if it's just the addresses, we know that in specific zones, here's what patrol's doing, here's what RMA compliance is doing. So you get some of the residents that are saying, hey, we never see anybody. Well, here are times. And obviously, it's going to work for our customers outside the gate as well. Okay, here was our patrol times, here's what we were doing, all those type of things. Okay. Did that answer your question? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Director Clark asked me to just report out. There was a meeting between the security committee and RMA board members. Director Clark calls it a 2x2. Usually that's what goes upside my head at home, but nonetheless, this is the second meeting we've had. Expectations came out of that. I know that some documentation was sent and moved forward, some very specific timelines. And for the general public, basically it's a customer service issue with RMA and CSD, and how are we going to get better lines of communication and truly understand what the expectations are. And what does that mean at the end of the day? From that standpoint. So kind of with that said, what I would like on our normal security meeting or security department report, specifically in this case, it's on page 2 of it. It says Rancho Marietta Association compliance meeting. And then monthly meeting with RMA compliance staff. I would say for at least the next 6 months, I'm almost treating this like the graffiti thing. Since we're not going to have it, let's pull it off of there. Much like if we do have it, then we can report out what took place, what was the expectation, or what did RMA need from us, or vice versa type thing. Specifically, if we now need some more information from RMA, okay, then we put it in. Otherwise, it's just there and it doesn't jump out at anything. I know this committee, well, it's not even committed, the director's committed to meet in March to follow up to see where the expectations are, those types of things. In that vein, and I know it's not an impossible task, it's just we're not there at any level. I would almost try and get these two documents together. And I don't know if it's RMA sends stuff to us and we do it, or we send our stuff to them and then they do it. It's because even if we're off a month, I kind of get that, but at the end of the day, we have a ton of staff time on both sides, and I don't know if we're accomplishing what we want somebody to look at and go, that's good, I like this. Now, as we get more of our reporting system, I think there's going to be more stuff we're going to put in because we're not doing it manually. You know, we can talk hours, we can talk locations, we can do those things. So it starts to get a little bit better on what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're able to get that out. My preference would be that it's one document. To me, I don't really care. I don't have ownership other than we produce ours and RMA produces yours. It's a spreadsheet. Ideally, if it was one, I think would benefit everybody across the board. So, there was one other minor issue. Oh, no. And then I know we received, it's not on the agenda, so I don't know if it's, so I'll say it and then I think it goes to the board meeting. We received correspondence as board members from a gentleman in the public on cameras and some concerns and issues. So I don't know if we should agendize that specifically to the security committee, or is it going to kind of come up at the board meeting? That's where it came up, was at the board meeting. And again, we're still trying to work through a whole bunch of stuff. Sure. So I don't know if it's too early. At the end of the day, I just want to get back to that person and say, the issues that were brought up, very appropriate, but way ahead of even where we're at in the process.
When there's correspondence to the entire board, that is addressed in the correspondence at the board meeting.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay. And so I know that we're working that through,
yeah.
And it wasn't on the agenda.
Correct.
At the end of the day, it's a security issue, so I don't even know if it's gonna come to the security committee anytime soon. It's on our plates. I just want some feedback back to that individual.
And that specific topic, I think, is very worthy of the Joint Security Committee.
Oh, I would agree.
Because all the parties of interest,
right,
of the different resources that are available are,
right,
all going to be at,
right, I agree.
That meeting.
Okay. And so, again, maybe that's agendized item number two, specifically the camera system. And then, now, again, a whole lot of it is our process of maintaining, releasing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is a small element of the big picture. Because I know that a lot of talk, funds were there at one time on three levels of cameras, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was Tom that mentioned about some security funds coming up, and maybe this is where they're going. But again, we have the goal process. But nonetheless, long story short, I just wanted to make sure we're back to that resident of the district that brought up a ton of questions, all appropriate, but just way, way, way ahead of where we need to be, or where we're at. So, because I didn't ask for a timeline, no one's asked for one, it's just, it's there, so.
Let me just mention, he hears you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay, so, but you understand where,
because
what you brought up was totally appropriate, just we're not even close to it. I just want to make sure that you sent something out, something came back, or instead of just being.
There has been communication with the association out there also.
Okay.
To see where they stand.
Okay.
As the representative of the entire.
Right. Because I know in the past, and I'll put Mike on this, I know that there was talk of even Country Club, and the Country Club does have their own camera system. Just at the end of the day, are we going to try and tie everything back in, or is everything going to stay separate? But again, I don't want to, it's a whole different question.
Right.
I just want to get back to the gentleman that sent something to us.
Richard, can you relay the message?
To whom?
To the guy that wrote the letter.
Okay, I will. Okay. I'll give him a call.
Thank you.
That is all I have, unless somebody else has something.
I
yes.
There was a question about the study that backed up the Measure J, I think it was, the security fee.
Oh, yes.
So what was the basis for that? We did. We were able to discover that study, so we're going to. There's no reason that I can see why that wouldn't be on the website.
Okay.
Part of our document record.
Okay.
And so we do have that. It is, as Mike has discussed, you know, there was a review of how much time was spent providing service to different areas. I've asked Jeff to take a look at that and to see if that general pattern conforms to what we're seeing today. I mean, this is, what, 1983? Was it that long ago?
I have 84-2 amendment.
Yeah, okay.
And when you're done, I'd like to add something to the conversation.
So that report is out there. It very specifically says that the costs were accounted for by the strict provision of patrol and gate officer operations. It does not speak. There is a one-liner that speaks to and anything else under the Measure J. But to have anything else, you actually have to have that part of your cost structure. And so anything else wasn't envisioned in the cost structure. It was in a one-liner of kitchen sink, but there's not a funding structure for it because the cost structure is strictly to patrol and security patrol and gate officer activities.
Can I add a little bit to this?
Sure.
No, meeting's adjourned. One second, Mike. So obviously there's some conversations that are going on, which is great. I would ask that maybe run it through the board president to send a copy of this measure out before the board meeting. I don't know if it's going to come up at the board meeting, but just as a FYI document for us to take a look at, and then obviously I'm going to learn a little bit more at the next security meeting since I just adjourned it. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Martel.
So I appreciate you finding the document. I haven't found that document, but I have a copy of 82.4 resolution, and then it talks about setting up the election. It was a very controversial vote. It was 3-2 by the board at the time to vote for the tax, you know, and then it got amended in 1998. And my question for you, because it's strictly about patrol, and at that time, I'm going to guess that a lot of outside players, a lot of members did not live in the community. So there's a lot of access at the gate. Plus, there was a professional golf tournament here, there's a lot of different things. There's a whole lot of things that occurred. But the other question I have for the security and the board is I can't make any sense of how we established the rates of. You know, and I see the paragraph or the quick synopsis on how we do it. It says charges for property,
And you're reading off of?
Your documents.
But what?
This is the 83 or whatever?
This is the resolution of 98, and this is your billing, and this is the billing thing that you guys have pushed out. It says, charges for property or units just identified herein shall be determined by the board based upon the total actual cost of providing drain services to that property or unit not to exceed the maximum charge, per building and square foot for a property identified herein. So at our last meeting, we talked about enforcing the CCNRs. I did a little research, and all the property that backs up to the country club has to be enforced as part of the CCNRs of our bank. So we basically have no enforcement of infractions on the golf course property, according to our conversation with Les and, the president's meeting, that kind of stuff. But if you look at the charges, and I'm looking for, and one thing is Dick Brandt was one of the signatures for this agreement, and that kind of stuff. But if you look at the charges, I've been trying to figure out a science. There's residential inside the gates and outside the gates, and it's four times as much inside the gates than it is outside the gates for residential fees. And then when you go non-residential, outside the gates is like five times less than it is inside the gates. So I look at the original text, or the original thing that we voted for is for security patrol and gate operations. And then other things were added to the process. So I've been going through all my stuff and trying to figure out how we came up with these figures. When you said square footage, the Equestrian Center just added a brand new building with a cafe and office space. So if it's by square footage, did that count into the square footage of the whole land? And what is the patrol times is, what is the patrols, the security do on the property that we're being charged? When I did the math at 0.0755, which is the code, it comes up to me for 12 months at $37,146. So when I look at our billing, which I brought for 1 month, it looks like that we paid $48,000 for security. So I don't know if there's any added cost that I'm not aware of, or it's not in our billing description of why the additional charge for patrols or security. So when I look at this stuff, and then I see all these other charges about water and drainage and that kind of stuff, that I can't make any science to it. So we're digging into this thing. I would love any document or have a conversation of how we got to these figures.
I had some other questions, and that's why we're very happy to find this document. It doesn't provide the level of detail that I would like, but it does provide a lot more detail as to methodology behind all the rates that were set for drainage and security. So that's why it's done by EPS, Economic Planning Systems, and that's where it was very clear as to the methodology behind setting security fees based on, at the time, the level of services provided to each of those entities, a tally that was conducted. And so, and that was the methodology. And so as to how the square footage was determined initially, I'm not sure it's for the club. I'm not sure that it's going to have that level of detail. We can try to research to see if there's notes or other information that isn't with that report. That is the most detail we have right now at our disposal. So it definitely provides a little bit more clarity in the questions you're asking. But it may not provide all the details you're looking for. So hopefully there's some other file or something that we can find here that has that level of detail.
But just by the fee, I think there's about 10 different rates.
Right.
Everybody's paying a different rate.
So one second there, Mike. Tom, the study that's being done on, I want to say, for rates that's coming up. I know we're doing it on the water sewer side of the house. Was security in on that, that process? Okay. So now my next question is for John. What Mike is bringing up, I get it's under security, but to me, I'm thinking maybe the finance committee is more appropriate because of the process. Would you agree? Because I don't. It's
first
not
of all,
a.
Let me. If he's the, if we're the only two, can I speak or not?
You.
I don't think I'll. Okay. I think that's right. Number you have. the stuff that Tom's working on, I mean, everything is going to have to relate back specifically in security and drainage to those specific ordinances and
right.
taxes that were approved.
But
that's the only, you're working in two different venues.
Right, but I think it should be under finance
yeah.
that has this discussion, because it doesn't yeah. matter if it's water or security.
Right.
It has to do with the rate structure.
Correct.
So
I've got notes.
You agree?
Yeah.
So if you agree with that, okay.
So this is very instructive going forward, and this is something in my former role, having managed 1,700 fees, that when fees are created, you have to footnote the heck out of everything going forward. Say, this is our intent for this fee, this is why the square footage, this is the exact square footage is assigned to the club, this is the exact footprint of the square footage, it is the current country
right.
club building, the pro shop, the snack shop, the maintenance facilities, restrooms, you know, exactly what was that, you know, do all those components add up to, basically. That level of detail, I hope we can find, and that's not in the report.
And here's my last comment about it. I understand, and John's well aware of the history of the community here. At that time, it was Pension Trust Fund was the boss,
right.
and there was a tremendous litigation. So I understand that the board at the time, we had an absentee landlord, and the way they structured this was to harm the developer, you know, that kind of stuff there a little bit. But things have drastically changed. Even in the 98, when we voted for the tax to continue in 98 in security, it really just only talked about patrol and gate services, which you've alluded to. At that time, there was very little houses. Development didn't really kick. It started on the south in the 90s.
Right.
And so, to be honest with you, it was a lot of undeveloped land, which it still is. But there is so many different rates. I can't understand the difference between his patrolling this part, this residential section versus that residential.
It's part of the folly of the methodology that was used, which I've had a concern about since I first heard about it, which is when you take just a snapshot in time and you say, well, exactly how many hours in that particular year were there so many incidents at a specific location, when you try to apply a fee by parsing it out so finely so that everybody's happy, no one's ever going to be all completely happy, and it's only a snapshot in time. Oftentimes, it's a better practice to look at a more generalized way of applying a fee that's distributed across all parties, and then some people win sometimes, some people lose sometimes, and that is honestly a much better practice than the way I believe it would be done, because we just, from a fee-setting standpoint, to have to expect that we're going to look every 3 months and change our fee to whatever that pattern was for that specific time.
No, I understand.
Maybe graffiti's hitting the river, you know, in this unique circumstance for 6 months. Are we going to use that as a factor for setting our fees out there? And then the next 6 years we have no graffiti. So that's why I'm getting at. When you get parse things that much, it's actually not a very practical way to set fees, and it can be unproductive. The country store, for instance, pays 8 times the security fee. And the Burger King adjacent to it, which is a restaurant, pays 8 times what the backyard barbecue does for security fee, because it's considered
highway
commercial.
Got it.
Well, if there's development off of the highway in the new commercial area, it just happens to not be fully on it, but separated by a matter of feet, but it's a Starbucks with a drive-through and other similar type facilities, how is that not considered highway commercial?
I don't disagree with you.
So,
well, hold on a second, gentlemen. I agree, and
yeah,
I love the explanation.
Detail,
but and I don't want to push you to another committee, Mike,
yeah.
but I truly think
yeah,
if we're going to do a... I get you're coming to us for security.
Yeah.
So I hear that. Security will keep it on its plate. I would recommend that we move this to the finance, and now whether it's the next meeting or it falls under finance committee responsibility, John, you had a...
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to, from my standpoint, it'd be good for to let Mark first see what, in terms of documentation, what
yeah.
we can find.
Right.
And what I'd like to ultimately do, and we can do this in the Finance Committee, is once we assemble all that information, is lay that out against what we're currently charging and try and unravel it from there. Mike's right. I mean, some of this stuff was created in scenarios or hypotheses that don't even resemble anything like what we have now.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. You know, we hear you. Staff hears what you're saying, Mike. So like I said, I don't want to push you to another committee because that committee has a quite frankly, a knucklehead on it. But the process would be exactly what John's saying. Let us get all this. I'll speak for the Finance Committee. Let us get that. Let us get back to you. I would ask that either drop off your documents and we'll make copies, or email them to us, whatever you have, and then we just figure it out in finance. I get that it's about security, but to me, I think it's a finance issue, and then we can figure out on the finance side when we need to chat with you and do that.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get...
No, you bring it up. This is the place to bring it up.
It's been about an 18-month process.
We're much closer.
I understand you are. It's nice that I heard the lot J, but I think you're going to have a hard time. And we have Dick Brandt, who is the first president and the lawyer for the district. He's going through all his documents, and I can tell you what I've read, I can't find the science. You know, I think boards...
It's more of an art up there. Mike, it's not so much a science. It's more of an art.
It actually was an art.
Yeah. So the reason why the
country store was 8 times was because based on whatever analysis that was generated by the chief at the time from the prior year, that there were 8 times. You know, it was 8 times.
Got it. I understand that. I read the highway thing, but I gotta say though, in 2020, I don't believe that science or that methodology is gonna hold up if somebody challenges it, and I think if we don't
I agree. So, yeah. So, but that is a finance issue for the district because we're doing the rate.
But you know,
and it's a separate process. But we're looking at rates on that side, so maybe it's a force to look at rates on this side. So, I would ask that let us. I hear what you're saying. Staff hears what you're saying. Let us do some work on our end, and then. We'll get back to you, and it'll probably be from the Finance Committee side of the House of the district. Understanding security started it, but I truly think that's where it should.
So Mike, if you have anything that documents the square footage and structures,
I do.
And I didn't think that this study we're getting on.
I do. There's some things I'm not sure of. You know what I mean? And if there's something that you guys are charging us, that I'm just doing the math, and the math doesn't match.
Right.
That there may be something I'm missing that you guys have added additional fee that I'm unaware of.
Oh yeah.
I've read the government code. I've read the resolution. But I look at our building doesn't match what I've read legally.
Okay. So. We met your concern or okay. Wow. Sure there's nothing else? Anything else, staff? Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you everybody. Or I would like to thank everybody for their time.
Denise has her hand up.
Denise, did you have your hand up?
No,